Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Nowadays, it's abbreviated to the day before Black Friday or Turkey Day. Both of them reference to a national day of Thanksgiving, which is a national holiday. How long has it been one of those, an official Congress-declared national holiday? And what has it become in the 21st century? Joining us to talk about the origins of Thanksgiving Day on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 26th, Cheryl Magnus. She's managing editor of The Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Rediscover Thanksgiving's Origins as a National Uniter During the Civil War. Cheryl, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you for having me back.
We'll talk about the origins here in just a moment, but first of all, what are your thoughts on what Thanksgiving Day has become in 21st century America?
What it has become is not all bad. All of it is actually very good. It's a time to gather together with family. It's a time to enjoy a few days off from work. It's a time to engage in some of our activities that we like, such as having a nice meal together and watching some football and maybe even doing some shopping. All of those things are great. But I think what we are sometimes missing in all of that is what should be the focus of Thanksgiving, which should be the object of Thanksgiving, which is God. And sometimes that gets lost in all of the other activities.
What are your thoughts on referring to Thanksgiving as Turkey Day?
I don't have a problem with referring to Thanksgiving as Turkey Day as long as that's not the primary way that we think about it. I think, you know, in retail and in the culture, I think the choice is often to refer to it as Turkey Day to the exclusion of what the holiday should be about. And that's when it becomes a problem. But obviously, our custom for many of us is to have a turkey. So there's not a problem with noting that as long as we don't lose the primary focus.
How is it you think Thanksgiving Day has become godless, as you mentioned before, the object of our thanks has kind of fallen out of the picture?
Well, I suppose since Thanksgiving is a civic holiday, then it's not naturally a holiday in which we would focus on God, because it's a national holiday, it's an American holiday, and we have this tradition and our heritage of separation of church and state and not instituting a national religion. So I think that's probably a big part of it. From the reading that I did for writing this article, I did a little bit of my own research, and I learned that in the early days of our American nation, several of our early presidents did issue proclamations for national days of Thanksgiving. That's kind of where we trace some of this back to. George Washington did, John Adams did, James Madison did, but Thomas Jefferson did not. And one reason I understand that he did not is because he was very much a proponent of that separation of church and state.
What were the original purposes of those Thanksgiving days, those kind of year-by-year proclamations of a day of Thanksgiving?
As I understand it, just to give general thanks for blessings upon the nation, you know, for Thanksgiving, for harvest, and blessings upon the nation as a whole. After James Madison, the practice did sort of fall off for a number of years, and then we come to the Civil War and the time of the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, and that's when we see the practice pick back up in the form of a presidential proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving.
How does it become a national holiday, official kind of the Thursday, last Thursday of November holiday?
Yeah, well, that's something that I, again, started researching for writing this article. And I learned of a wonderful lady, a fascinating lady named Sarah Buell Hale. She was born in New Hampshire in 1788. She was home educated. She became very learned just through being home educated by her mother and also by her brother, who was able to go to college where she was not and who brought home resources and things for her to study. She married a lawyer in her 20s, and he was also very supportive of her continuing to study. They studied together and learned together. But after 9 years of marriage and five children, he died of a stroke and left her without many means to support herself. So this is what I find rather interesting as a writer, is that she thought, well, what can I do now to support myself? And she settled upon writing. Imagine that. So she became an editor of a very well-known ladies' magazine called Godey's Ladies' Book. It was published by Louis Godey. And from that platform, she began advocating for the celebration of a national Thanksgiving. She did it over a number of years. And she eventually, during the Civil War, wrote to President Lincoln, 1863, and pleaded with him to please issue a proclamation for a national day of Thanksgiving. And he actually did that, October 3rd, 1863. From that point on, we have pretty much the custom of presidents annually issuing a Thanksgiving proclamation, but it was just a year-by-year thing. So the president would need to do it. Sarah Hale didn't like that it needed to be presidential proclamation, so she continued then advocating for actually codifying the celebration of Thanksgiving into law through an act of Congress. She did not see that happen during her lifetime, but during the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we did finally see, through an act of Congress, a national federal Thanksgiving holiday come into play. Interestingly enough, we had in individual states, you know, there was a custom of celebrating Thanksgiving state by state, and it became common to do it on the last Thursday of November, but it wasn't uniform across all of the states. And so this is when it became uniform, is during the presidency of Roosevelt.
Why was national unity such an important part of early Thanksgiving celebrations?
Well, one reason is because of just the far-flungedness. If you go back to, you know, the early nation, the colonies, and then the early states, geographically, you know, just much more far-flung, much more spread out, and much more different ways of life. So bringing those states together in this uniform, shared national celebration is one way to kind of create that stronger sense of unity across a young nation.
Then why is it fitting for churches to have a Thanksgiving Day service?
Well, that goes back to what our focus should be at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks to the Creator, giving thanks to the object of what should be our thanks. And even though we are a nation that has this division, this separation of church and state, certainly we can, as a nation, still come together and give thanks to the Creator, the one that has blessed us so richly as individuals and as states and as a nation. So I think this is why we need to maintain that within our celebration of Thanksgiving.
What are some of the ways that we can, as individuals, as families, restore the original meaning and purpose of Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah. Well, in her writings, going back to Sarah Hale, in her writings over all of these years of advocating for a Thanksgiving holiday, she tended to emphasize three things as she was promoting this. One of those was that national sense of identity of trying to bring these disparate Americans together. The second of those was emphasizing community. And so, you know, something that we can do in order to emphasize that community is to reach out to our community. So look for ways in which we can serve our community over the Thanksgiving holiday. And then number three, within our own families, is just to reintroduce prayer. I remember growing up, I grew up in a household that wasn't churched, and so we didn't typically pray before meals. We often didn't have meals together. But Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays, because at Thanksgiving, not only would we sit down and eat together, But my Aunt Lou would come, and Aunt Lou prayed before meals. So on Thanksgiving, we prayed, and I loved it. So if your household is not one in which you typically do that, you're typically sitting down and praying together, Thanksgiving is a wonderful opportunity to reintroduce that. Nobody's going to really think you're weird if you propose a prayer before the meal on Thanksgiving. I would encourage anybody that's not normally doing that to use this as an opportunity to do so.
You quote from Sarah Hale, "The 4th of July is the exponent of independence and civil freedom. Thanksgiving Day is the national pledge of Christian faith in God, acknowledging Him as the dispenser of blessings. These two festivals should be joyful and universally observed throughout our whole country and thus incorporated in our habits of thought as inseparable from American life." What did she mean by that?
Well, I think she meant that, again, you know, this American enterprise, this American adventure that began well over 200 years ago was begun in a brutal land, a strange land, but it was begun by a group of people that came across the ocean so that they could worship in the way that they wanted to. So those are our roots. And continuing to remember that and to give thanks to that God that inspired those people so many years ago is a way to cherish that holiday and to properly direct our own thoughts on this holiday.
Finally, Cheryl, someone says, "Today our nation is hopelessly divided. We are past the point of no return, and we can never be united again." How would you respond to that?
You know, I feel that way sometimes too. When I start to feel that way, I try to remind myself that probably every generation has, to some extent, felt that way, because there are always divisions among us. There are always problems that just seem unsolvable. And yet, the way that we can best emphasize our unity is to look at what brings us together more than what divides us. And if anything brings us together, it's that we're all human beings. We were all created by our God to serve one another and to help each other. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful opportunity to remind ourselves of that.
Cheryl Magnus is managing editor of The Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "Rediscover Thanksgiving's Origins as a National Uniter During the Civil War." You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Cheryl, thanks for being our guest, and a blessed Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you so much. Blessed Thanksgiving to you, too.
Pastor Ted Geese joins us on the other side to talk about the biopic, "A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." It's a treatment of Fred Rogers on film. Stay tuned. Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, "Why We Bother with the Fathers," in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union is committed to serving you and to serving the church. Lutheran FCU serves you by offering mortgage and auto loans, checking and savings accounts, credit and debit cards. Lutheran FCU serves the church through its Ministry of the Month program, October's recipient, the National Lutheran Cross Country Championship. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York, a small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at ourredeemerlcms.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.